Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So Arsenal's win over Manchester United at the weekend has put the London club back on top of the Premier League, ensuring the title won't be decided until the very final day of the season. So Man City are taking on Tottenham tonight. If they win that game and their clash with West Ham at the Etihad at the weekend, they're going to be guaranteed a record fourth title in a row. But if they don't, Arsenal could win their first title since 2004. And of course, it could all come down to goal difference. Ken Early, presenter with Second Captains, is on the line. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Claire. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a little bit complicated. So you might just take us through the permutations of what could happen, what might happen, and how it could end up at a goal difference decider.
Well, the only way for it to end up being decided by goal difference is for Manchester City to draw one of their two remaining matches, or indeed for them to draw and then for them both to lose the last match, which seems like an unlikely situation. I mean, what everybody expects to happen, or what the most likely outcome is that Manchester City win both of their remaining games and so win the league by 2 points. Mm-hmm. In order for that not to happen, for Arsenal to have a real chance going into that last match, then they need Manchester City to lose this game tonight at Tottenham, which none of the Tottenham fans want. It's a very strange situation. So you've got a situation where all of the Tottenham fans are effectively hoping their team loses tonight in order to prevent their rivals Arsenal from winning the title.
Okay, but their manager has insisted that that's not the case, and if it was the case, he wouldn't be able to understand that.
Well, he has to say that, because otherwise there'd be an inquiry. Tottenham throwing the match. I mean, obviously, what the fans want and what the players and manager want, they're, are different things. The big picture situation here is that it's hard for people to imagine Manchester City not beating Tottenham, even if Tottenham were fully focused and everybody was united around the idea of winning. It just seems that City are such a much more formidable side. Tottenham let in so many goals. That's how are they not going to win this? But, it's football, so who knows?
I did something this morning that I don't often do. I looked at the match stats. City have won only once in six visits to Spurs.
Yeah, that's true. They have a very bad record at Tottenham Stadium, the new stadium. I think they've lost all their previous league matches there. But Tottenham, on those previous occasions, were managed by guys like Antonio Conte or Jose Mourinho, or I think Mauricio Pochettino maybe had one of those matches, where guys who would take, certainly Mourinho and Conte, a completely different approach to playing against City than you're likely to see from the current guy, Ange Postecoglou, who's all about, let's go out there, express ourselves, attack. They score four, we score five. Mourinho and Conte's attitude is very much, we'll concede no goals and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And this has typically been a bit more, Manchester City have had more trouble playing against teams like that than playing against guys who go out there and try to go toe-to-toe with them in the way that Postecoglou's team is likely to. That said, they did play earlier in the season. It was a 3-3 draw at Manchester City. So, that result obviously repeated would suit Arsenal very nicely.
Okay, so let's talk about Arsenal for a minute. And I find it hard to be neutral on this because my 10-year-old is a massive Arsenal fan and he's shouting in my face about them all of the time. But I'll try and stay on the straight and narrow here. But it would be a huge deal for them to take it this year, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, it would be huge. But equally, it's important for your 10-year-old to understand that life is suffering.
And he doesn't get that yet, Ken.
Yeah, usually you don't. They've got to learn at some point, and usually you don't get what you want in life, and you have to accustom yourself to disappointment, and take the small pleasures when they arise. For example, the Tottenham fans tonight, if their team loses, will celebrate that fact out of the pure vindictive, malicious joy of seeing Arsenal fail, and this is really what a lot of us are reduced to. in going about our daily lives, rather than hoping that, you know, we can actually achieve some kind of dream that we've been planning towards for years. Things usually don't work that way.
Okay, well, when he comes home from school today, I will get him to listen back to this, Ken, and that'll trample on all of his dreams. But Manchester City, of course, like, if as expected, as you've explained to us, they take this, it's not without controversy. I mean, we know about their financial might, and we also know about the controversy around that financial might.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think this is really the big picture situation of the Premier League at the moment. You know, ostensibly all is rosy in the garden. It's been a good season for the Premier League, lots of great games. It's obviously the destination now for most of the world's top players because it pays more wages than anyone else. It makes about as much money as the next two biggest leagues put together. In this sense, things seem to be going very well. But they have this situation where the current champion, and maybe, you know, if Manchester City win again, the four in a row champion, is a team which has got, which has been charged with breaking the league rules in order to inflate their spending power, which sounds kind of boring, but, you know, in a game which is increasingly decided by money, you know, if you can do that, then it gives you a serious sporting advantage. You know, I mean, Arsenal's ex-manager, Arsene Wenger, many years ago when Chelsea were sort of winning a lot of titles powered by the, you know, money from a Russian oligarch, Roman Abramovich, coined the phrase financial doping for what he thought was as serious a breach of, you know, sporting integrity as, you know, the traditional drug doping that, the phrase sort of comes from. So the situation with City is that they've been charged. There's 115 charges on the charge sheet, which was announced last year, I think February last year.
Mm. I think it could have been 2022, because I remember us discussing it quite some time ago on this programme, but it doesn't seem to have moved very far along since the charges were levelled.
No, there have been different charges. You know, the UEFA had previously charged Manchester City with breaches of their rules. And, you know, ultimately that kind of City got a bit of a rap on the knuckles there. They've been fined for breaking rules. And it turned out in the UEFA case that certain of the charges were time barred. In other words, you appear to have done this, but apparently there's a statute of limitations which says you can't be prosecuted for it. So the point about this is that this process has been dragging on for a very long time without anything... without having been decided. But the context for this is that this season, the Premier League has punished two other clubs, Everton and Nottingham Forest, not older in terms of when they were founded, but clubs which have a bigger sort of tradition, a bigger history in English football than Manchester City do, but obviously aren't as wealthy as them. You know, they don't have owners from Abu Dhabi. So they're not as powerful as Manchester City currently are. These clubs have been charged with breaking spending rules and have been punished in the same season. And both of them have had points deductions taken from them this season, you know, which sort of imperiled their status in the Premier League. Both are now going to stay up, much to their relief. But people look at this and say, well, hang on, Everton and Nottingham Forest, the charges against these clubs seem to be less serious, and yet we can punish them. You know, we can process that and punish them and hit these small clubs. But meanwhile, the sort of most powerful team continues to sort of sail on, breaking records, accumulating titles, and, you know, where is the process now? Of
course, you could argue that there's more charges there and it's a more complex case. You've got 115 charges against Man City that need to be dealt with. That could be given as the reason for the delay. I mean, I don't know, but it could be an explanation.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And you know, the City charges cover a longer span of time, and it's more complex what they're alleged to have done and so on and so forth. But consider the effect that this has on perception. You know, so we have a situation where increasingly, I think the integrity of the league is being questioned on a wide scale. So both Everton and Nottingham Forest, when these charges were made against their clubs, their fans reacted by saying, oh, the corrupt Premier League. It's, you know, so it's routine now for crowds at Premier League matches, not just at Everton and Nottingham Forest, to chant in response to situations they dislike on the field, such as often refereeing decisions and so on, about the corruption of the Premier League. I think it's kind of been accentuated by the situation with refereeing, where, you know, the kind of institution of video review has not eliminated bad decisions, has just made the bad decisions that happen more annoying. And people, it's quite routine now for people to suggest corruption is behind these decisions, as previously was incompetence. So that's another thing I think that feeds into this this perception that the integrity of the league is under question. And when you've got this team, which is, okay, so City are going to win, if they win the title, it's going to be four in a row. Nobody's ever done that before. This thing's been going on for more than 130 years. No one has ever been this dominant before. You know, so it's a level of dominance which, even on its own, it's like, well, how do you explain this? Then you've got these unresolved charges, and the perception of it is that people are saying, well, you know, we can all see what's going on here. You know,
look, if you were to try and resolve this and address those concerns around perception, I mean, would you be suggesting that once a club is charged with an unproven offence, that they be taken out of the sport? I mean, is that logical?
No, I mean, clearly that wouldn't be due process at all.
Yeah, but then how do you resolve it?
Well, I mean, eventually I suppose it will be resolved, but I'm talking about the corrosive effect of it taking so long to resolve. I'm talking about the corrosive effect that is having on the perception of the league. And in the meantime, you've got a situation for Manchester City. I mean, these charges, I think the latest of them, it goes up to the 2017-18 season in terms of the alleged improprieties. But there's a section of it which has to do with City obstructing the investigation, which takes us up to 2023, you know, when the charges are actually filed. So they haven't sort of cooperated with this investigation. And some of the charges relate to their apparent failure to cooperate with the investigation or to be transparent. This is quite a normal situation where you've got a legal dispute. You know, if someone is charged with something, it's not typical that they say, absolutely, I agree with all the charges. You know, that we know that people will obviously fight their case in court. That's completely normal.
Yeah.
And you know, if you look at what's happening now, it seems that everything is going quite above board at City. A lot of the spending rules in football have to do with, you know, how much money does your club make? You know, and the amount that you can spend is obviously sort of related to your revenues, you know, in the sense that, like, if your revenues are a certain amount and you spend much more than that, you've got huge losses, which then put you in breach of the spending rules. At Manchester City, we have the extraordinary situation where this club is now apparently the biggest revenue generator in the sport. It's making as much money as Real Madrid, which is a giant club, you know, I won't say universally recognized, but commonly seen as the biggest club in the world, with a history glittering that stretches back to the 1950s, where they've had that status. And yet Manchester City, the second team in Manchester, are supposedly as hot a commercial property. They make as much money from commercial sponsors as Real Madrid, the most glamorous team in the world. They make as much money as Bayern Munich, a quasi-national team in Germany, or as Barcelona, the quasi-national team of Catalonia. And Manchester City apparently are as attractive to sponsors as these teams that have multiple times more fans. People look at this and scratch their head and wonder how that can be.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. Ken Early there, who's presenter with Second Captains. We need to take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.